What's that building, by the way?
What building?
The not the post picture, but the one before that, or is it the same building?
Oh, it's the same building.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's what was that? The Manchester Leopard. Civil Justice building in Manchester.
Oh, okay.
I've just decided to say, ah, screw it, and I just have started throwing pictures of cool buildings that are at the site that Raw's at, just to, whatever, just to throw a little bit of the work influence in there.
Yeah, I know, I clicked on the wrong one, that's why. I was doing it on the slider, and by the time I must have registered, it moved to something else.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Yep. Yeah, that's been a theme for recently here for me, for whatever reason. And what are you typing up?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, I was typing something to Shahid real quick. He hit me up, asked me if I saw Flash. I was like, yeah.
Oh. I figured that was the beginning of the show, sir.
No, no.
Oh, well, I hit record.
Oh, you did? Well, hi, everyone. It's Granny Audio something or other.
329.
329. Yeah, this is Jeremy. And that's Kevin. So, hey, it's been a while. Cut me some slack.
Well, I thought that you wanted me to hit it. Like, you kept on saying save it. So I'm like, oh, okay, he just wants me to hit record. So I hit record.
I was just chatting away. I figured, why save the gold for? I mean, why use the gold off the air when we should just jump right in? And I guess that idea didn't really work.
So,
what was that?
You know, I rescued all of the beer that was left from my wedding from my neighbors. And it actually sounded like one of the growlers still had some carbonation to it. And I thought it tasted okay when I took a little sip inside the kitchen. But I'm just going to say that my taste buds were wrong. It's a 2-week-old growler. It's bad. It's just the beer has ceased to be good at that point. You need it in a bottle to stick around, a bottle or a can to stick around that long.
Well, that's too bad because it was pretty good. It was pretty tasty. Which one was it?
It was both of the ones from Seventh Son, the Waffles and I'm trying to think of what the name of the smash was, and it's losing me.
Wasn't it Pine Smash or something?
Pine Cone.
That's it, yeah. Which is still a weird thing to put in a beer, but...
Yes.
So a lot of the local breweries did candy for Halloween, and I think it was Heist. Here, used Sour Patch Kids, but...
Oh.
We were out of state, so we couldn't get to the small batch release of it, so hopefully they do it next year. And also Heist, I moved to a new city and gotten lazy. And because most of the breweries are right within a 2-mile blocks. I mean, not even a radius, just 2 miles straight down. So
right.
If there's other breweries across town, it's like, I gotta drive. Like, I just hop on the train for free. Well, you know, if you don't pay, it's free. But.
None of ours are that close, so we don't really have that privilege, so we do tend to, I could see being lazy about that, though, if it was that easy. If there was one in this, and I'm honestly kind of surprised that there isn't one in this area of town yet.
And give it time.
You know, there's one not too far away the closest one's probably about maybe 7 minutes now.
Oh, that's not bad at all. especially with Uber and whatever else. I mean, that's not bad at all. But yeah, it's also, Charlotte's such a growing city that most of these breweries are a year to 2 years old. They just keep, like, South End had all the empty buildings or the empty warehouses to build new ones in. So that's why most of them are populating over here. Like, they're building, I think the vodka distillery actually opened last week. Oh, that's right, that opened last week.
Lineage.
But it just...
That'd be the closest brewery.
It's just one of those things where I think Columbus is such an older city, as we talked about when we were up there. Everything's established.
Yeah, a lot of stuff is, a lot of stuff's new. That's it. Oh my gosh, and I didn't get to mention this to you. We walked down to the flats.
Yeah, I saw the pictures, yeah.
The whole one end of it is completely different than when we were there.
Where, like, Odeon was and all that?
Odeon is still there, where Peabody's Down Under was.
Oh no, it's gone?
Oh, that moved out a while ago and moved to a different location, but the building still stood, but that building is now a parking lot, and they kind of built out more into, it seems like they built out closer into the river there, and they added some high-rise apartments, just a brewery is there, and just all kinds of fancy restaurants, but the Odeon still looks exactly the same as when we used to go to it. And it's only like a block away. Like, it's only a matter of time before that gets the axe. Just because they seem to be trying to redevelop that area at the current moment.
See, that'd be a shame. I mean, that'd actually be a shame. Because that place has been around a long time. I mean... At least 20 years, whatever. But it was there before that. It would have been funny with Peabody's being gone if everything got bulldozed except for that idiotic beam.
Yeah, just that pole with all the staples in it in the middle of, like, smack dab in the middle of the stage is still there.
So if you want a good show, if you want a good sight or sight line, I mean, I think it was a cheese grater. I know we talked about this before, but for those who don't know, back when you used to go to clubs to watch concerts, they would staple, and I guess this is for inside promotion, but they would just take the flyers and staple it on this old wooden beam. It's a square beam, you know, structural support. And when they took the posters down, they never pulled the staples. So eventually, the staples only went in, I mean, was there a quarter-inch staples? Maybe they went in a 16th, and it was just a cheese grater, because back when you used to jump around, whatever, you hit that thing, you were in some serious, serious pain.
Yeah, I remember not doing as much or trying to not do as much in that club specifically for that reason.
Yeah, just stand back near the back bar or onto the side sometimes.
Yep, I was not about ready to get hit with that. I was dumb, but I wasn't that dumb.
No, I don't remember who. Maybe it was Orange 9mm? Was that when we first discovered that thing, or was there somebody else?
Well, they did open for Weezer the time we saw them down there.
They did? I thought they opened for Local H.
Oh, it was Local H. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, because I remember we took off and about to watch Local H. Because... Why would you? But, yeah, so that's actually too bad, because, I don't know, I mean, obviously it is what it is. But.
Yeah, it was a real shock to, like, see the old, because I knew that, I had heard mention that they were starting to redevelop that, so to actually go and see that, and I had been meaning to mention it to you on IM.
That's nuts.
So, yeah, it was pretty wild seeing that part of our college experience. Wiped
but
out.
I know that area also, like the flats, during the recession, whatever, just basically everything shut down too. So I guess it's good to hear that, you know, something's going on down there at least.
Yeah, it was really bad. Like when I went up for Prime Wrestling and for PWO, those couple of times, I couldn't believe. And I mean, that was just a few years ago now. Like that whole side was as bad as the Odeon still looks.
Well, it was never a pretty area.
I mean, well, that's true.
On a weekend, though, it was always packed down there.
But yeah, it was dead. I mean, it was dead as a doornail.
Oh.
You know, like the businesses were all out of there. Because the Odeon had closed for a while, and someone said that they just ran a show like once a couple of months ago, and they haven't done anything since. So, well, I mean, it isn't really, like, you know, doing anything.
Yeah. Well, I saw the Agora still open.
Oh.
Down at the other end, but yeah. I never really liked that place. Well, I couldn't get into the seating part of it.
It will always be to me infamous for the breaking into of my truck.
I forgot about that.
During a GWAR show.
Yeah. Well, that is the flats was always busy, so you didn't really have to worry about that because there's always people around. But where the Agora is, good grief!
Yeah, it was not in the best part of town.
No,
so there was always a little bit of a fear factor.
Yes, and it was all right. And this was before GPS, so you just had to kind of wing it with the street signs, like, "Please don't take me through the bad neighborhood, the worst neighborhood." So we're going through a bad one eventually, but. I guess.
Yeah.
We've mentioned bad a couple times. We brought it up right before we started. Monday Night Raw. And yet again, they went down. Again, they lost viewers. And I know we talked about this off air, because obviously you and Chris have been doing the shows. And I don't get it. How much, all right, I guess my first question I asked out loud to nobody was, after so many weeks of losing your audience, and there was nothing on last night, you had the Bears and Chargers. Okay. So you can't say there was competition.
Right. It's just those two franchises watching that game.
Yeah. And in previous weeks, you had that, you had baseball playoffs, so you had some sort of built-in excuse. But yet, this week, with less distractions or choices, I guess,
yeah,
you came in even lower. I guess, what's going on? What needs to be done? What can be done, I suppose, is something's wrong.
I don't know if it's popular to say they aren't pushing the right people anymore, because, I mean, everyone at the top of the card is a fairly fresh face. I mean, even John Cena, for all the airtime he got, he was not in the main event area. Well, he was a little bit.
Yeah, I would say he was a bit, because... because of his challenge. Sometimes they'd be at the end of the show, but...
yeah, I guess there was Cena losing, then getting back his U.S. title.
Yeah, which...
but that seemed a little more out of desperation than...
Well, I don't even know if that was out of desperation or if that was just the plan all along.
Oh, you know, yeah.
I don't know... I mean, watching the shows or not watching the shows, because for me now, there's definite competition with, and not that I don't have a DVR, it's obvious, but we all do, but you've got, for me, there's Supergirl is on at 8 o'clock, I believe now, it's a show I DVR.
Yeah.
And then Fargo, which may be the best show on TV right now. Is on at 10. So for me, it's like, well, I'll see what I can do. Like, if I forget to watch Supergirl, that's fine, whatever. But I try to make it a point at 10 o'clock. If Raw hasn't bored me to tears, then I'll watch Fargo instead and just catch up later. And to me, that's the main problem with Raw right now, is there's nothing exciting about the show. Can you name an act that's not New Day that when they come out, you're like genuinely excited for? Like, I want to say Kevin Owens, but he's been kind of muted ever since the feud with John Cena. And really, there's not too many too many other acts, stars, whatever, that gets an actual, like, positive reaction.
Yeah, Cesaro, to me, is still in that category. Despite the douche levels that Dolph Ziggler has reached, he still gets something of a reaction, at least. Like, it's not as big as it
once was. No, 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 I'm talking
was.
For you.
Oh, for me?
Directly, yeah.
I do enjoy watching Cesaro. Like, it's mind-numbing that he still hasn't gotten a real shot at anything. And I'm not... I guess I still haven't given up on them pushing him at some point. But I'm also not going to say that he'd be the solution to what is happening now either. Like, it, to at least go back to that subject that started everything.
Yeah. I don't know how... If... Or how any of these people, in the current state, is a solution to anything. Because I even watching that show last night, the English crowds are usually jacked to the gills for everybody. And they only, like, audibly really popped loud for New Day. And no matter what New Day tried doing, saying that English magic is garbage or garbage, they were still behind him. But even, I mean, Owen's got a nice, like, a very positive reaction, which, you know, he's not supposed to. But right. Even for the hometown people, Barrett, Paige.
Well, I think Paige got the best reaction out of him. Neville, that was really weird to me. Like, that did not seem like a home crowd at all.
Yeah.
You know, I think that he would get cheered more in some U.S. cities than he did there.
Well, it's not to be the dead horse, but, I mean, a lot of the problem are personalities. The personalities we know are the personalities that are either old or they're just so one-dimensional that as, you know, your adult audience... I mean, I just listed two shows that have more character development in it, and one's based off a superhero from the 40s or 50s, or 60s, one of the two. But anyways, it's an old-ass character. I mean, what do we really know about Neville at all?
Nothing.
He's the man gravity forgot. Well,
yep, he has fancy moves.
He wears a cape.
And he does have fancy moves. And then that's where I get myself in trouble, too. And I've, you know, it's not like I haven't said it before. I love the wrestling that's going on at the current moment. Like, I think these guys are as good athletes as the WWE's ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the other thing. Like, if you think that the wrestling brings the people in, like, I don't know how you can really say that.
Yeah.
Like, and that, you know, you were talking about personality.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that does tell you that it's more... you know, you've got to weigh in with the personality, and yeah, Neville doesn't have one.
Well, that's what they've always said. That's the old standard rule. You got to talk him into the building. You know, and then once you're there, once you got him, then everything's good. And currently, right now, I just don't think. And there's this crop of wrestlers, this roster. John Cena can talk, but even then, everyone just kind of rolls. Like when I say everyone. Kids get into him, obviously, but there's just that eye rolling to where it's the problem with Cena that I've had for a while is he doesn't seem genuine. It always seems like shtick. Where like Triple H actually started off as shtick and has gotten to that point now where it's like, all right, you gotta kind of believe he's that way, even if he's not. And that's where none of these guys are, except for maybe Owens.
Yeah, I and to go back to that other question,
Big
I
Show,
do.
I think it's another one too.
What, a positive?
No. That he's a character with an actual voice. Now,
oh,
you may be tired of him. You may be tired of the voice, but there's nothing put upon about the Big Show.
Right.
His dialogue, if you want to put it that way. Doesn't come across as being written by somebody.
Gotcha.
And, okay. I mean,
yeah, so, and I agree with you too. Yeah. Like he, you know, he has enough tenure that they don't really monkey with him too much.
Yeah.
And it does. The material does kind of write itself when you're really that ginormous.
Yeah, and you've been around that long, and you know, you got your smart-ass fans, you know, yelling, "Please retire," or whatever else.
Yeah, but I mean, he's even in the category of good wrestling. Like, he is in some of the better shape of his career, honestly, right now.
It's so hard to tell with him. I honestly didn't pay that much attention to his physique, and like, but the way he's bumping around, yeah. But he's always been, ever since he's been at WWE, he's been such a, gigantic. He's just been a huge man. Even when he lost weight, he was still huge. So
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know if there's any sort of fix, because
and I don't think that is, and I haven't really watched it as much just because I haven't had much time recently. I mean, even if they went with more of an NXT formula, I don't know if that solves the problem. You know, I mean, I guess it's, and I mean, I do enjoy the show layout more, but I'm also not sure if anyone in NXT, like, as much as I love Finn Balor, is he going to be the guy that really brings everybody in?
Right.
I mean, I think he's a great wrestler, fun character. There isn't anything I don't like about that guy. I think he's a pretty good talker. He's not the best talker, but he's pretty good. So, I mean,
you know who wasn't a very good talker, but talked just enough to get people to pay attention to him? Was Rob Van Dam. When he was in WWE, he was ridiculously over for very limited talking opportunities. And the moveset, and then, you know, when he did, got him over. I mean, Daniel Bryan, when he started getting over, he didn't talk that much either.
No.
But maybe he's a special case and people wanted him to succeed. But I think you hit it. You can be as good of a wrestler, and the in-ring work can be as good as it can be, but if you don't care, it's kind of like if you look at UFC. You got to have the names, and you've got to have the personalities. I mean, you know, Ronda Rousey, Holly Holm fight this weekend, cool. Rousey's, you know, outside of being absolutely dominant, but what got her on this thing, what got her where she is now is her personality, her doing interviews, talking, whatever. Well, WWE does not afford, I mean, almost anybody but a select few actual talking time now. So it's like, all right, cool, these guys are wrestling really well, but I have literally no interest, or no rooting interest. Like, one guy's supposed to be a bad guy, one guy's supposed to be a good guy.
Well, yeah, and, like, another set of guys that I really dig just came back, the Usos. You know, they're going to be on, I think they're supposed to be on Coachman's show this week. But I still don't know why they're back. Like, they've been back for 2 weeks now. And they've got Bubkiss in the mic department.
Oh, you know what? Good call. I didn't even think of that.
Again, I like them, but it doesn't make any sense to me why they didn't get any mic time. Like, especially if they're going to be having to battle New Day, they're going to need to be able to joust.
Mm-hmm.
I think they can. I mean, they're kind of straight-ahead dudes, but I think they can do it.
Yeah, well, the Usos were one of those guys that started getting over, and then they started giving those little inset promos, You know, and then all of a sudden they started letting them talk, and then they started having good matches with the Wyatt family.
Yeah.
Because you finally started getting somewhere with the Wyatts, and then that ended out of the blue, and just kind of, you know, maintained. But I don't know. I'm just trying to think of what can be fixed. What's a quick fix? And I just don't think there is one. And this is kind of a bad time for people to stop watching.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, at this point, the WWE is trying to push their new stars. I mean, it's going to be a little more incumbent now without Randy Orton and John Cena around. But again, like, as much as I like some of the acts, I don't see anyone, you know, pulling a Stone Cold or, and I mean, I don't even mean in trying to be that kind of legendary either, really. Yeah. Like, you know, just somebody, because I guess I'm trying to think of someone that maybe would at least pull people in, you know, on a lower level than Austin, but, you know, or The Rock. Like, I mean, but they're the most recent.
Like Rock and Austin, there was a Booker T and Rob Van Dam. No, Booker T had his fans. He had people that would go in and watch Rob Van Dam. He had fans that would go in, and they had the less of a push. I mean, like, where's the next Chris Jericho, I guess?
Yeah.
Would that be kind of what you were going for?
Yeah, that would probably be good. You know?
And, yeah, and there doesn't seem to be anybody.
Uh-uh.
Dolph Ziggler may have been one, but that boat has sailed way on down the river. And
yep.
I was thinking of this, and it's not fleshed out, so we don't have to dwell too long on it, but creative has to change. I don't think there's any way to say anything differently. Something in creative has to change. I don't think going to like first off, the Attitude Era stuff would never work now. People would give you up in arms immediately. They would call for USA to ban it, whatever else. It's just not going to happen.
Right.
But I think taking a more adult approach, making it TV-14, which I know it's a corporate company, you can't do that. Well, yeah, you can. And it doesn't mean you got to have half-naked chicks all over because, well, frankly,
you can't really do that either.
Not really, no. But you can present your women as sexy and obviously attractive, which I think they kind of do now anyways, but without having Jerry Lawler yell puppies or whatever all the time.
Yeah, they've actually kind of gotten somewhere with the ladies there.
Right before we started this.
Okay.
And that's a show that appeals both to a younger set and an older set. And tonight's episode was pretty violent at the end, but it just kind of proves you can have that. You can have like some violent content, not overly violent, but some violent content with some compelling characters and make it to be where corporate sponsors like Coke, whoever, want to watch your show. Or want to advertise during your show, I should
say. Yeah, you're saying that they don't need to go all Walking Dead on us. They can maybe go Shield on us here and have some level of violence.
Shield is a hyper-violent show. We were, I don't know if it actually made air, but Shahid and I were talking about that. But just how much they get away with, like, violence-wise, Shield. I guess there's got to be a way to present the show because UFC kind of teetered off or petered off in popularity. I guess Rousey, I didn't even know Rousey was fighting this weekend. That surprised me.
I feel like I follow her, so I know that, or I follow the UFC, so I know that.
I do too, and I just playing for either haven't been paying attention or
well they
just don't miss it. I thought her fight was supposed to be in January.
Oh.
So when I saw it was this, Elise actually pointed it out to me, and I was like, oh, they obviously bumped it, which is fine, but.
Right.
But the UFC suffer from star power as well.
Yeah.
You know, all the guys were gone. The guys who didn't talk much but fought the most are gone. I mean, GSP didn't say a whole lot. Silva never said a whole lot. You know, Brock was a guy that came in, started talking trash, and then other guys started doing it. And the ratings and buys were crazy. And that's where WWE's got to figure out that balance. And I can already see how this is going to go over, but do you think Vince McMahon is the guy that can do it? Knowing it's his baby, does he have the testicular fortitude to suck it up and go, I need help with this, and actually listen instead of, you know, I need help with this, I'll figure it out on my own?
Yeah, I mean, I think it has been at least alluded to a lot that McMahon is out of touch. And I mean, it's just got to be tough to be that age and still try to be somewhat hip and compelling.
Yeah. Well, but isn't it kind of like the captain of the ship has to delegate out to other people, so you don't know everything that's going on? Like, the people underneath you are responsible for making you look good without you getting in their way. That's where that was supposed to start with.
I mean, he could take a little more of a hands-off approach, but you know, from all indications, it doesn't seem like an option.
No.
You know, he would have to be the one to finally say something, and I don't know if the continuing falling numbers would convince him. I guess I'm wondering at what point it would convince him. Like, at some point it would have to go, something's got to be done here. I would think.
See, that's what I would think, but it's how many weeks in a row have ratings gone down? I mean, this is an 18-year low. And everyone said, well, they need competition. Well, that's not going to happen, so that's not part of it. I mean, you know, and when they say that our competition is every other network on TV, okay, then go out there, see what your competition's doing, adapt, and do something better and different. Or something to stand out. And I'm not making excuses for him, but Vince McMahon has his hands all over that company. It's not just a creative aspect. He's he is the face of that. I mean, every conference call, he's the guy, you know, delivering the business numbers. He's the guy that runs the call, hands off to this guy to handle something. You know, that's got to be, especially for, he's 70 years old now, right? Something like that.
Might be 75.
Jesus. Well, all right. I don't know if he's that old, but he's old, you know? And
right.
Let's see how old he is. Yeah. I like doing these unprepared topics. He is 70 years old. He was born August 24th. So, 45. So, 70 years old. You've got a guy that's running back up. It's back up to a billion-dollar company. That has its fingerprints all over the world, so many different multimedia outlets. He has a developmental program. He's got this, he's got this. Plus, he runs creative for two shows during the week that equal 5 hours, plus Superstars. Do they still do main event? Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, and then you have the off pay-per-views here. Now with specials, whatever else. And he's also got to make sure that he's got his fingers or eyes on a network. For a 70-year-old man, and maybe this is ageist, oh well, that cannot be the easiest thing, and try to maintain your pulse on society.
And keep in the ridiculous shape that he's in?
Yeah, well, they say he doesn't sleep at all, so, you know, okay.
But yeah. I don't see my dad hulking up that big.
I don't see your dad ever hulking up. Ron hasn't changed at all. So, I just wonder, like, and how do you even broach that? Like, there's no one in that company that has enough stroke to actually have the balls to go up to him and say, hey, you need help figuring this stuff out. Even if you try to explain it in the most polite terms possible. I mean, and just kind of like how I explained it, I guess there's probably a nicer way of doing it. And then look at him and go, and get rid of Kevin Dunn. You can't have the same producer for years. And if you heard of Metallica, okay, I've rest my case. So, you got to change your producer up every once in a while. Because it's not working. Live crowds are dead. I think that's a big aspect of it too. You turn on your TV to wrestling and these guys are out there and it's crickets.
Yeah, that has been another thing that I have noticed a lot, because I had been talking about how I've been to larger live crowds recently here in Columbus, but I have noted, at least in a lot of my Almost Live and definitely half-assed reviews, the last few months, things have really started to become a bit of a problem with more crickets being noticed. Like, it seemed like after, and it was a couple of WrestleManias ago, where everybody, maybe it was the one where Ziggler won the belt, the Raw after, that crowd really, to me, started a very long-term, what would it be, like a year and a half long good crowd run.
Yeah.
But recently, you know, I hadn't really thought about it in total, but now that we talk about it, the live crowds have been a little bit quieter. I mean, yeah. We even mentioned that the English crowds were kind of, eh.
Yeah, it's they're not satisfied, they're not happy with the product they're getting, the product they're presented. And it's, we've gone around with this, that it's not, Vince McMahon has done his job successfully to this point to where WWE the brand is it. WWE is coming to your town, not Steve Austin of WWE, not The Rock, not this and that. It's WWE Monday Night Raw with John Cena, Kevin Owens, this and this. And I mean, it's a successful thing because you power over your employee, I suppose. But when you see this on TV and you go, well, that product looks boring. I mean, all those people paid to sit on their hands. So, you know, it's, I don't know. I mean, I know diehard, longtime people who are actually going to WrestleMania haven't really been watching all that much lately. So, tout that you've had record WrestleMania ticket sales, that you're opening up another allotment of tickets. I can't begin to describe what utter horseshit that was.
Yeah, and I will be the first to admit that I honestly either was I either zoned out when they were given the numbers, or it was part it was after a video package, in which case those overseas shows have more filler than a regular Raw. Like, I always feel bad for them. But they always do. I mean, they did get a really fun moment at the end.
Are you talking about the Bray Wyatt angle coming to an end? Okay. Well, let me finish the WrestleMania ticket thing real quick, and then we can get into that.
Okay.
I got on that site at 10 o'clock. Ticketmaster. You know, Ticketmaster. The only game in town for tickets on a wide scale.
Right.
There were a bazillion different codes for pre-sale. I got in at 10 o'clock, chose the section we wanted, and was told there are no tickets. All the tickets have been bought. Maybe someone will release them. It was happening no matter what you chose, but no matter what section, whatever you chose. So there's clearly an issue there. Either WWE was opening up allotments of tickets as they sold, or Ticketmaster just blows and kept. We wanted a specific section. It was never available until 10:50. This is the information age, and this is, this is technology. This isn't waiting in line, which cracked me up last night in the video. I waited in line to get tickets for WrestleMania.
Why?
I guess maybe they only sell in certain sections, whatever. So you trump up demand, you trump up this fake record ticket sales. Yeah, you had people waiting for an hour to buy tickets online because, one, you didn't release enough tickets. Two, Ticketmaster just blows, and their site sucked. So to say, and then also to say that you're opening up another allotment of tickets means you didn't make all of them available at one time. So it's an utter lie that it's just more of this self-congratulatory patting of the back fake shit that WWE's been doing for a while. And the only reason I'm annoyed by it is I seriously thought something was wrong with my computer for almost a half hour until they finally started seeing everybody else was saying the same thing. But
gotcha.
To go to the end of the show,
oh, don't tell me I lost you again.
Because the unstoppable guy, Braun Strowman, he gets bitched out like nothing. So if you're going to be able to take out the big guy, the guy that's been running over everybody so easily, why should I think anything else is going to come of this?
That is a good point. They did seem to enjoy it, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. All right. Don't get me wrong. It was a cool moment. But what would have been cooler is if, as soon as the Wyatts all surrounded them, they beat their asses. And then you give the English crowd something cool afterwards. That's when you chokeslam Bray Wyatt. That's when you beat up all the Wyatts. Not on TV. It's 4-on-2. And you've already beaten both of these guys down. So now it's Survivor Series. Spoiler, it's going to be two of the Wyatt family members versus Undertaker and Kane. Why? They've already showed Luke Harper and Eric Rowan were nothing.
Oh, they were... I felt bad, because I thought that... Because did they chokeslam Strowman?
No. They clotheslined him over the top.
Oh, over the table. Yeah.
And then threw him over the table.
I mean, honestly, I thought that was a pretty weak dispatching. I guess technically he didn't take a finisher, but yeah, I mean, that is getting your ass kicked a little too easily.
Yeah. Because he's been built up and built up and built up, and then in 10 seconds, it's one of those, and it goes back to their problems. No one gets heat. We had to sit there for 10 minutes of Bray Wyatt talking about a bunch of garbage, to where even me, as a Bray Wyatt fan, I'm like, this guy's losing me too. I control the lightning. I control this. It's like, oh, God. Really? It's like, cool, you fought over the special effects button? Cool, dude. That's wonderful.
You don't think that's impressive?
Oh, that's stupid.
Yeah, I mean, they, like, I couldn't get enough of the whole, I loved all the dumb soul-eating comments we came up with last week, because it is just, it's a really hokey angle that just does not work. And I mean, to go back to things not working, like, it's just an angle that isn't going to work in wrestling these days. Like, it can work on the Flash or Arrow or something like that. But in the WWE, it really is treated more like the UFC than it is true entertainment, in my opinion. If that makes sense.
Well, I mean, the action or like the...
Well, yeah, because matches. It's more action than talking.
Okay.
It's not, to me, it's viewed at least similarly, because people kind of compare MMA fans and wrestling fans sometimes, and I don't feel like it ever comes up that you're an MMA fan and a drama fan, or a comedy fan, or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, there becomes a disassociation, but and yeah, I guess there are certain demographics that cover both wrestling and the UFC, but I mean, I just think there's a different presentation to the whole product, you know, from a television show to something like that. And yeah, like just, and I guess it goes back to an angle like that doesn't work. Like, you can work it into the context of a superhero show. You can't do that in wrestling these days. It's more real, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. It's the reality era. Holy shit! How did I forget that?
Well, I thought that was over.
Oh, that is over now.
I don't know.
I don't keep track of them.
Well, yeah, because
I let someone else determine when that was over.
Like, you have all of this stuff, and you've got these goofy ass Wyatts now. Who, if they were just like, you know, a little cultish little thing, that's fine, because those still exist, those are real. It was like the Undertaker and Kane were the two, like, you know, sore thumbs. But even Taker had gotten away from, you know, his goofy shtick, and then he brings it back, and then Wyatt says, oh, I'm going to take your lightning, and now I'm your soul, I eat your soul, and I'm the apocalypse. Ugh. If they played up that he was delusional, cool, but they just treat it like Bray Wyatt's the eater of worlds.
Yeah, I mean, they love
Galactus from the Fantastic Four. He was the eater of worlds, but this isn't We Watch Stuff, so whatever. I just... I just want her to be. I really have. You know, if they want to be half naked chicks all the time, perfect. I'm fine with that. But I just want it to be good again. I want the characters to be compelling. And it's. As Shahid would always try and guilt people, it's like, just watch the damn show. No. If I can't watch that show with a critical eye, I don't know if I'd be able to watch it.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny making that show a running column. It kind of makes you watch it. But and I say week in and week out to you, though, like, I guess it always sounds like you watch the entire thing. Mm-hmm. And I am so glad, and I say this to you every week, as things have gone by, I'm glad I skipped the bullshit. Like, I didn't hear that controversy. The endless number of video packages.
Yeah.
If I know that they're babbling about the upcoming, the announcers being the they in the situation, if they're babbling about a pay-per-view match, don't listen. Like, so, you know,
it's a reverse drinking game. don't drink, don't listen. That's how to do it.
I mean, I guess it helps my viewing, but I mean, that isn't a good thing, though.
No. You know, if you're purposely skipping chunks of the show that may have some relevance, no, that's not good.
Yeah, like, if I start, because I've found, if I start at 9 o'clock now, it's perfect. I'll catch up by doing all that fast-forwarding right about the time for the main event to start, so that I can watch it live. Like, I mean, I really intentionally try to start at 9 on the button now, because that's the perfect length of time to give it.
Maybe I should try that.
Huh?
Maybe I should try that. I'll admit, there were a few weeks where I didn't even watch. Like, I had it on, and I was just doing something else. I was reading something, and I'd look up and be like, oh, okay, that's cool. Come back. Like the last 2 weeks, and it's funny, the last 2 weeks with the most severe drop off of viewers are the 2 weeks I've caught from beginning to end. Well, last night I passed out, but yeah, with a DVR, it's not hard to catch up, or especially having read the results of what was going on. I was happy, and I am happy there's a tournament for the WWE title. Except for the fact that only one match was over 5 minutes. If you're going to have a tournament, have a damn tournament. Like, why, as much as I like Titus O'Neil, and yes, I understand that ship has sailed, why wasn't he in the tournament? Or why was he in the tournament? Kalisto? I guess, okay. It seems like it was thrown together without any consideration of, we need to knock this damn thing out of the park. So I was glad New Day actually addressed it on the TV. Why wouldn't one of them be in it and get Kalisto out of there? You can still, I mean, hey, Tyler Breeze. His first Raw match. You're introducing the character that's feuding with somebody else, so what do? You have him lose.
And that's why I honestly thought that would be the most an interesting match to watch, simply because of that reason. I'm like, well, he wins in the second round. I don't think Dean Ambrose is going to win it. Like, would I like to see Ambrose win it? And again, like, he's another act that I enjoy, but he still hasn't, other than his friendship with Roman Reigns, his character hasn't developed that much. And again, like, even if they go full bore on him, is he the solution that does it for the WWE? No. No, I enjoy the hell out of him, but is he that guy? I don't think so.
No. I know, like, the speculation of what people want on, like, reading online is, you know, Roman joins the Authority and, you know, does the heel turn, all this stuff. I think it'd actually be more fun if Dean Ambrose joined the Authority. He's got a built-in excuse. He's the one that's always getting his ass beat when he's interfering with Roman Reigns, you know, business. Even if it's his fault he interjects himself, oh well. So it's just kind of fun.
Right.
And then just play it totally straight as well. Like, dress up in the suit, do whatever they say, stop acting all weird, that sort of stuff. It'd just be like, wait, what? Like, what just happened? But it's still the unpredictable Dean Ambrose. But no, I guess I had to backtrack what I'm saying, but it's like, replace Kalisto and, Titus O'Neil with John Cena and Brock Lesnar. You immediately have it, and get rid of Neville, get rid of Stardust, put, Yeah, Wade Barrett's in there. King Barrett. Trying to think who else should be put in there.
I don't know. I couldn't even have named you the other people that are gonna supposed to be wrestling on SmackDown.
Yeah, I do know.
And I mean, I know that they advertise some of them.
Well, they just show all the bracket, and like I said, I enjoy the tournament, man. I mean, I think it's a cool thing. I wish they'd do more of those, but I guess they don't. You know, not the most popular.
Well,
you know, I'm just going through the roster to see who else could have been put in there. Why isn't Bray Wyatt in there, for that matter?
That's always one of those interesting things that, despite that guy being really high on the card for, you know, a solid year now, year and a half, he's never gone after the belt.
No. He went after the Intercontinental title, didn't he?
Did he do that when Cena had it?
No, that would have been the U.S. belt.
Oh.
I think Cena never had the IC.
I'm sorry. I don't know. Maybe?
You know what? I'm looking at this roster while we're talking.
Right.
There's a lot of hurt guys that, like, Rusev's hurt, can't be in it. Wow. I was just trying to think of the guys that weren't hurt or weren't missing. But, yeah, you know what? I guess people like Stardust and Neville, all of them have to be in it. So, but Kalisto and Titus O'Neil don't.
Well, if you don't think the ship has sailed on Titus O'Neil, he needs to not be put in that spot in the tournament.
Yeah. I think Titus is around because he seems to be a pretty decent dude. He's a good spokesman as well. I think that's why they keep him around, and that's why they keep him in the spotlight, because Darren Young is Darren Young. And I don't think there's any fantastic improvement coming from that. So, but I don't know. I'm hoping that there's some sort of surprise in this tournament. I don't want Roman Reigns to win. And not because I have anything against him, because I think momentum's actually starting to turn on his side, finally.
Yeah.
So I think you can actually build up the sympathy to where if he gets screwed over, I don't know if people are going to cheer all that much. Where I would say a year ago this time, if he was in a tournament, he got screwed over by somebody, they would cheer the person screwing him over.
Or cheer
the situation.
Yeah, I think that that's why I guess I haven't been that excited. I feel like he's the guy. Like, I felt like he was going to beat Seth Rollins. So I don't see any reason for him not to win this tournament. And
I figured Rollins was going to weasel out and somehow keep it all the way till WrestleMania.
Oh, okay.
And then Roman would get his revenge at WrestleMania. That was my thinking. Because remember, after Survivor Series, we're going to get into that. We're actually kind of in it now, but we're going to get into that experimentation period.
And I guess that's why I thought that it would be Reigns, because if you leave the belt on Rollins, what are you experimenting with? A guy that you've had the belt on now for several months?
Well, remember, you don't always have to have somebody else run with the belt, but you, this is where when they were doing pay-per-views and that, and especially with the Royal Rumble, it doesn't have to be the main event. You push somebody else up to try to see if they're ready for it. I mean, we've gone over it before. Last year, it's funny enough, it was Rollins' spot, wasn't it? Because that was the triple threat match with Lesnar, Cena, and Seth Rollins at Royal Rumble, right?
I think so.
So Seth was kind of in that position a year ago. So it's like, I don't think Roman Reigns needs, I don't think there's an experimentation period with Roman Reigns. Even if, you know, you can argue that there should be. I think he's just going to be one of those guys that, or is that guy, where Vince goes, that's the guy. Make it happen. But not yet. We got to run an experiment right now like we normally do, and then come, you know, Rumble time, whatever else, Roman starts building up for WrestleMania.
Yeah, well, I...
But with everybody hurt...
Yeah, I don't know who else ends up, honestly, winning it in the tournament. Like, I, as much as I like Dean Ambrose, I don't see him winning it. Ziggler, again, ship sailed.
Oh, yeah.
Because those are two guys in it. Cesaro was the only guy that kind of pulled out a win. And he's not the solution. Like, I mean, he's had a crowd behind him for a while, but they continue to not do anything with him.
Yeah, I've noticed, like, they have the Cesaro section signs, but there's not the Cesaro cheers. It's, all right, well, here he comes again. He's going to lose again. That does wear on an audience after a while. It's like, well, this guy always loses. I was confused why Sheamus was in the tournament, considering he's the Money in the Bank guy.
Well, they have had the Money in the Bank people in such situations before. So I guess I wasn't too surprised. I feel like they're like, oh, they're doubling down on their luck. You know, if they can secure this shot at the world title, then, you know, they can keep the briefcase or something of that nature.
Yeah, that'll gag.
And I mean, I honestly wouldn't blame him. I mean, if you don't have to use that, you know, you can always, if you lose in the tournament, you can always use it at the end of the tournament anyway.
Yeah. All right. That's actually perfect. That's where I was going. Sheamus' Money in the Bank. No one wants to see Sheamus win the title. Well, why not give him that run again like they did years ago when he beat John Cena for the title? Give him that run with the title and then have him lose it at, you know, Royal Rumble or Fastlane. Is that the, I think that's the name they're sticking with after Royal Rumble. And in that way, you don't damage Sheamus by having him be, yet again, another guy that cashes in the Money in the Bank and loses. And it didn't last, but remember, Sheamus is also the guy that lost a Kiss My Ass match. Or Kiss My Arse match, excuse me. You know? So it'll get to Bray Wyatt territory where it's like, well, why the hell do I pay attention to this guy? He never wins. So...
Yeah, and I mean, that is the only reason that New Day has won some matches.
Yes.
And I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why they are compelling. And I mean, it was a lot of the reason why, honestly, all three of the guys from The Shield are still popular. Like, mm-hmm. They were pushed properly as a unit, and then they broke up. And they've, you know, done well with them, for the most part, with all three characters. You know, yeah. Reigns has taken longer than they had obviously intended.
Well, and I think it's, in the long run, though, that's going to benefit him. I really do.
Yeah.
I mean, he is everything WWE wants. I mean, he's got the look, but they got to work out his talking. But he's got the work, he's got the look, he's got the work ethic. You know, he has the chops for promotions, not in-ring promotion, but, you know, going out, charities, whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how long we've been going, so I'm not trying to wrap it up, but
right,
I do feel the need to talk about something very positive, which will lead to maybe a debate on this. Of the New Day members, who is the guy that captures your attention when they first walk out on the stage? Everyone's going to say it's Big E. Because, you know, he does the clapping thing and...
the gyrating.
Yes. If you stop looking at him, Kofi Kingston is doing some tremendous work next to him. With that goofy... his goofy clapping and like skipping that he does. I'm thinking, and this is a dumb idea, that could be something that, you know, eventually once they split up, because it's going to happen eventually, I'm trying to figure out who keeps that gimmick. Like, this has been the best thing that's ever happened to Kofi Kingston. And just watching it on Monday, I found myself watching him more than I did Big E.
That grin and smile that he puts on now is beyond fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is one of the funnier things in wrestling today. And, yeah, I don't know if he's the most entertaining. I mean, I guess I look the least at Xavier Woods. That's yeah. more the way I would put it than I look at Big E or Kofi more. Because both of them, and not that Xavier Woods is doing a bad job by any means, but the other two are just a hair above him.
Yeah, that's the thing. Xavier Woods is not doing a thing wrong. He's just overshadowed by two bigger, I mean, well, first two bigger guys, but just two bigger personalities. It's crazy. And I also like how Xavier is, I don't want to say mascot because that belittles what he's doing, but it's pretty clear Kofi Kingston's the leader. Or at least it's becoming clear. Like this week, you know, they were doing the reenactment of laying out John Cena. Big E falls on the ground. So, and then he's like, all right, Big E, get up. Big E gets up. And then when they were walking down the ring, Kofi Kingston, I don't know if this was supposed to be on or not, but he was like, all right, relax. We're getting in the ring already. It's like he was the guy taking the lead where the other two were just being able to like goof around whatever else. What was the match? Was it that Kofi was just flopping all over the place?
Oh.
So when they beat the Usos for the second time, that was the start of Kofi Kingston finally winning me over. So what this was all about was I don't hate Kofi Kingston anymore.
Yeah, he is doing some fantastic work at this juncture. I mean, I don't know who keeps the gimmick. I don't know how that gimmick keeps on going on without all three of them, honestly.
Yeah.
Hey, that's just one that I think it's going to be hard to translate to a one-person situation. But, I don't know. We'll see what happens. But, I mean, I hope they keep them together for a good long while here before they break them up.
It's funny because you mentioned them and, like, how they booked the Shield. That all they need is another trio to match either, not the goofiness, because the goofiness doesn't work, but like have an intense group to play off of them, because you had, you know, the Shield and the Wyatts, both intense groups, but fundamentally different as well.
Right.
So it'd be nice to see another three-man team come up. And remember how great those battles were with the Wyatts and the Shield? I think they can replicate it with somebody else, but in a different way.
Oh, right.
But, you know. It is what it is.
Yeah. Who knows if they'll do that or not. I mean.
Yeah. It's just a good way to talk about New Day, too. Legit, I legit am very happy when. So, which is funny because I remember when the first time he did that when he was Dolph Ziggler's bodyguard. I remember he did the goofy announcer voice backstage at one of the pay-per-views. It was like, oh, this guy's done.
Oh, yeah. Well, you did reference it a little bit ago, but we should be wrapping up Stunt Granny Audio 329, because we are at the 110 mark.
Wow, we're really going that long. That was a fast show, man.
Yeah, I felt no need to stop it. I was not looking at the time myself until you brought it up. Because, yeah, I don't want to blow ourselves, but I think that was a good show.
Yeah.
So, well,
let's get out of here.
Yeah. At DeFrango 11.
I'm at Granny Maze.
And at Stunt Granny, have a good night.